Read a lot of stock. We had a lot of hens at home, and we were milking by hand at that stage. We didn't have a milking machine. Well, we didn't have electric until 47. And then we had electric in at home right then. Because we had a big milk round, you see. I used to deliver milk with a pony and float, you know, and we had one more horse. Originally, years ago, like, my father used to hire a horse and cart out to the county council. He employed a fellow that did nothing else. He used to come at 8 o'clock, take this horse out, gone all day, and then if my father wanted to use the horse, he had to use it after 5 o'clock, you know. It had only been emptying grids, you know, it hadn't done much, really.
Been emptying what?
Grids at the side of the road and that sort of thing, you know, and sweeping up it, you know, it hadn't done anything vigorous, really. But, as I say, my dad had used it after then, you know. But it was an income. When I was a lad, the fellow that drove one of the lorries, churn lorries, he used to leave it in my dad's yard. And I used to, when I was a lad, I used to go with him, you know. I cut my hand open on the chopper at home and nearly chopped my hand off. And I used to go with him, you know, and we used to go in the Stockport Co-op. And then if they had too much milk, they used to say, oh, just take it to Congleton Co-op today. And it was like another half day's work that was in them days, you know. You see, when I went with the churnery, when I was about 10 or 12 when I did this, the most he had on was 770 gallons. He did 11 row of 7. 770 gallons he had on. And we used to go about £30 for that. I mean, ours are doing 750 gallon a day themselves, you know. So all these farms that are packed up, you know, they just swallowed them up. Because you see, the other thing he's there, you know, I mean, same as when we sent milk into town. You'd only contract for like little corner shops, really, some of them. And then you'd get, there were no phones, you'd get a telegram or a postcard on a Monday morning. Oh, it's Holden Wakes this week. Everybody's gone to Blackpool. We don't want any milk. And of course, this is why farmers' wives had to make cheese and butter.
But, I mean, you're talking again back to like 1930s.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But when you nearly cut your hand off, that was in
a
turning chopper.
That was a straw chopper.
Straw chopper?
Yeah, you know, just two big blades on a big wheel.
Run by a stationary engine?
No, big handle on it.
Oh.
And used to chop it for the horses, you know, and that. It hadn't just come up the straw, because it's like a teeth to drag it through. And me, like a fool, put my hand through and just pulled it up. And my dad had just shammed it with a file. And,
oh.
Yeah, but anyway.
So what happened when that happened?
Well,
did
my dad.
You get rushed off to hospital?
You don't go to hospital.
No.
No. We'd had to Dr. Cogan at chapel, and he was just in the middle of surgery, and I walked in, and my dad had wrapped it up, like, and he just said to him all in surgery, I shan't be many minutes, I've got a job on here. He just put four clips in, and put a piece of board under there, and wrapped it all up, and reached on the shelf, and gave me some tablets. And quarter of an hour back home, you know. No trouble.
But not working, you couldn't use that.
Well, I couldn't use it a lot, no. But I mean, it didn't trouble him a lot, really, you know, we're lucky. In 1936, we had Austin Carr at that time, and my dad had it for the milk round, a churn on the back, and if it were wet, the churn went inside. My two older brothers and my sister were at school, and I hadn't just started. And he sort of bundled me in the car one day, after we'd done the round and had a bit of dinner, and because I didn't know it, I mean, it was right out for me, and we finished up at Carvin, going to Chester, and there was a fellow there called G.B. Ratcliffe, and he was a pedigree Friesian breeder, Poolbank Farm, Carvin. Always noticed when I go past, my instructions were, don't get out, don't touch anything, I shan't be many minutes. Not knowing what they were going to do, he disappeared in his house. And about a quarter of an hour after, he come carrying a calf in a sack between them, these two, my dad and this other fella. And of course, I soon found out why I was on this trip. I had to keep this calf quiet in the back, tied in a bag, let it suck my fingers, anything to stop it rambling about, you know. And that was why I was on the trip. And of course, you know what calves do when they put them in a sack. There was soon steam rising and smelled. Anyway, we got this calf home, and he paid 15 guineas for it, pedigree bull calf. And Darwin Gordon, it was called, and it made a right good bull. And local people got to know about it, because it was pedigree, you see, and they brought the cows. Quite a number of them did, you know.
get a fee every time.
Oh, yeah, they're giving $500 now. We weren't a lot, really, but it was a horrible job, really. I remember this fella from up here coming, and all his hand were bleeding, and I remember he'd had the halter around his hand, you know, and the bloody coward had him on the floor coming through Whaley Bridge, you know, dragging him up the road with his, and because he'd rubbed his hand raw around the back, you know, and because the trouble was, you know, they'd turn up with a cow, and the bull wasn't familiar with this cow, and they must have a scent themselves, you know, and you turn the bull out, and because the first thing the bull would do is get the bloody water trough up, the wheelbarrow over, tread on the brush and break it, and you had to clear all that away for a start, and then he decided to have a battle with the cow then, and then after about half an hour, he decided to do what they should do, you know, but we got some bloody starvings with that, you know, waiting of them in a bit of a gennel, waiting of them performing, you know. A lovely story about when Foot and Mouth were on, you know, when the eye couldn't come round, and they used to leave you little swings on the gatepost. My neighbour, Walter Mellor, just a very good farmer, he decided he wanted an AI one day, and he thought he'd try this. And only little chap, because the cows were tied up in the shipping, and because he stood on the box, you see, doing what he should do at his end, and his wife was stood at the front, the cow's head in underarm like this, and stalking, tooting, stroking it. And after a while, she turns around, she says, "Walter, you're not doing it properly." So he said, "How do you know?" He says, "This cow should be smiling, and it isn't." Yeah, but the funny thing was, he served 6 cows and got 5 of them in calf, which were better than AI, you know. But that was a learning curve. Oh, we used to buy Irish heifers.
They were cool little things.
Yeah, well, I went with my dad. There was a fella called Brockers at New Mill. He used to buy Irish heifers. And my dad had this Austin car, and he also had a cattle trailer, which was very rare. And there was a wheelwright lived just in Whaley Bridge that made these cattle trailers, because Mr. Shuker had one and my dad had one. And we went, because we were retailing milk, we had to keep a steady supply of milk, you see. We were all either buying cattle, selling them, you know. And we went down, Matthew Brockhurst, he was called, and I was only a lad. He went in and, like, showing him these cattle, these Irish heifers. And my dad said, "Oh, I'll have that one." And Mr. Brockhurst said to him, "Oh," he said, "Mr. Slackday, that's the other one, they're a pair. They've come from the same farm, you know." My dad said, "Oh," he said, I'm going to have a job pay for that one. You know, I can't pay. I'll buy 2. I mean, only 19 quid. He said, "You know, I'll have a job pay for that one." And he insisted. He said, "Mr. Slack, deck them both." I mean, I kept saying, I can't afford to, you know. He said, "I'll tell you what to do. Take them both and bring me your trailer back. I'll have that for the other one." And he did do. And we called it wheel right. I can see now going down. And he said to Charlie Roden, he said, "Can you make me another cattle trailer?" And he said, "Well, what's happened to the other one?" And he said, "Well, it's about to sell it by a cow." And he said, "Well, you won't pay me if you can't do that." He said, "Well, I'm hoping I'll have enough together each time you made." He said, you know, and he did make another one. But, I mean, that's how they were.
Was it worth getting the 2?
They were, yeah. Well, we had some in the Sheffield Blitz. But my dad bought some heifers from somewhere, these were Irish heifers. And they were in wagons in Sheffield 3 nights in the Blitz. And when they got them home, you didn't drop a bucket or anything, shut the door. They were gone like last. And they didn't do a lot of good, they didn't. They
were shell shock.
Shell shock. Oh, they were nervous. You didn't drop a bucket to bang and, you know, and there were 3 nights in Blitz and Sheffield.
When the Irish heifers, were they ear tagged?
I don't know where they were.
Because you hadn't got all this tagging regulations then, had you?
Oh, no. Oh,
well,
no,
your pedigrees would have a tattoo, wouldn't
they? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I remember having a TB test at Reddish Farm with my dad. And there was this fella called Bert Whistle. He's a miniature vet. He lived in Buxton. Pretty religious fella. He come down, and because the cows were used to people walking about with rubber aprons on and that sort of thing, you know. And he come down the ship, and then what? It was a 20 ship, and put all his stuff in the window bottom, the far end. And of course, you know how they had 2, you know, they have 2 injections. He got these 2 injectors in his hand, and my older brother says, "I'll just cut between them, Joe, you know, just keep them quiet." And of course, my brother went up between them. The first one jumped across and jumped straight on his foot. Well, his brother let such a mouthful out. Bert Whistle come back out. He put all his stuff back at Winterbottom. He said, Mr. Slack, did you hear what your son said? Oh, I did. He say something. He said, if he's going to say that every time we inject the cow, he said, I'm not doing any more.
I suppose they'd have to be tagged on the back of the TB testing.
Yeah, they were something, Matt, yeah.
Yeah, right, all year.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Skin thickness there.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, I remember them doing that, you know, the testing them. But as I say, we're being milk retailers, they were very keen with us having testing and always testing the milk, you know, and they used to come round a fella from Derbyshire County Council. And he had like 3 medicine bottles, and they all just held a pint of milk, 3 of them. And he put it in a brown envelope and sealed it with wax. So he took 2 with him. And you test them for water first thing, you know, whether you put added water in and then whatever. And then he left one on the farm, and if there were any dispute, you know, you'd always got a sample to have it tested yourself. But they were pretty keen, you know, on producer retailers, you know. Alice Grilling 46. There were 4 lads at home, and obviously we all couldn't stay at home, and I went working on a big farm locally.